I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, in for Tenzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Last week, President Biden urged intelligence officials to continue investigating the origins of COVID-19, and this investigation is receiving support.
We feel strongly, all of us, that we should continue with the investigation and go to the next phase of the investigation that the WHO has done. So because we don't know 100% what the origin is, it's imperative that we look and we do an investigation.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And although it was originally thought that COVID-19 came from a wet market in Wuhan, China, where it was transmitted from animals to humans, now researchers are looking at whether the virus came from a lab, even though the World Health Organization released a report this year rejecting just that theory. There's now a growing chorus of scientists calling for a deeper look into the origins. Here to help us understand this is Daniel Einberg, who is senior editor at The Atlantic. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
So help us to understand what the lab leak theory is.
So the lab leak theory is kind of a catch-all at this point. It includes the idea that the SARS-CoV-2 virus was deliberately engineered and as a bioweapon and possibly deliberately released. So that's one extreme end of what has sometimes been called the lab leak hypothesis. And then the other end would be something more like this was a virus that was gathered in bat guano samples, brought to a lab, and accidentally made its way out one way or another. So there's a full range of possibilities here. All those are kind of lumped together under the umbrella term lab leak.
Well, so that's really helpful. It doesn't necessarily mean that there were sort of evil scientists creating COVID-19, although that seems to be one possibility. It could also be that simply they were using it in the lab for some set of purposes and it accidentally leaked.
Right. Yeah, I guess the one way to think about it is there's a continuum from sloppy science to evil science. All would be consistent with the lab leak hypothesis.
Actually, that's extremely helpful as a way to think about it. Now, obviously, we'd heard about this, previously from President Trump. It had been sort of critical to his public discourse around the origins of COVID-19. And again, even the WHO releasing reports saying that that's not what happened. So why are we now thinking about it?
I mean, just one thing about the WHO, there was an investigation coordinated through the WHO that concluded that the lab leak hypothesis was very unlikely and among the least likely possible explanations for the source of COVID. But the WHO director general questioned that finding and pointed out himself that not much work was done to investigate the possibility. So I don't know if it's fair to say that the WHO as a whole has rejected this idea. But that was one of the major events. I bring it up because that statement from the director general was one of the events recently that has led to, I think, a reappraisal of the probabilities. It's not as though tons of new evidence has just emerged to make the lab leak hypothesis seem more likely, but some pretty prominent voices have come out and said, look, we just haven't really investigated this fully. Maybe we can't make those kinds of statements that it's extremely unlikely or, you know, the odds are vanishingly small. We just don't know.
So that idea of we just don't know, it feels to me is actually at the core of scientific inquiry in terms of what science is meant to do, to go back, to reappraise a hypothesis. So talk to me about why it matters. What difference does it make if it came from a lab?
Well, that's a really interesting question. Some people have said, oh, it makes no difference whatsoever. You know, we have to deal with the pandemic we have, and it started some way, so let's end it. Certainly, it's true. That's the primary goal right now. But the argument for studying the origins is that, you know, in order to prevent the next pandemic, it would really help to know what caused this one. I think that's, you know, clearly true to some extent. Pandemics happen very rarely, thankfully. So you want to know what causes them, and that helps focus efforts to prevent them. On the other hand, my feeling is the mere fact that a lab leak scenario is possible, and I mean possible in the sense of, you know, there's some reasonable likelihood, it's not just, you know, a one in a billion possibility, suggests that we should take that very seriously, whatever the origins of COVID. And obviously, we know from past experience that spillover from wildlife is a source of pandemics, as it has been in the past.
So this question of its origins and this language you just gave us about whether or not there is some sort of reasonable possibility, again, all of that feels to me consistent with what science does. You come to one conclusion, you get a little bit more evidence, you think about it differently, you investigate in a different way. Is this consistent with how, you know, we've studied the origins of other kinds of things that affect human health? Or are we looking at something that feels more politicized or potentially conspiratorial?
Right. Well, the inherent uncertainty in science often becomes a political tool. There's a long history of that. And I think this is an interesting case because often that uncertainty and that kind of question asking for political purposes serves as a way of doing nothing, you know, a way of heading off regulation. That's the familiar story with big tobacco or various environmental regulations or other safety regulations. You know, you'll just say, well, do we really know for sure that smoking causes cancer? And until we know for sure, should we really do anything drastic about curtailing smoking rates? This is kind of an opposite situation, as far as I can tell, where the issue is there going to be more action to prevent the risk of laboratory accidents in the future? Is there going to be more government regulation of this sort of research? You know, there's good arguments to be had about the pros and cons of doing that kind of thing. But I do think right here, the asking questions tendency is meant to prod further action, which makes it different from that kind of weaponized doubt or, you know, doubt mongering that we've seen in the past of this kind.
So you talk about asking questions, which leads to investigation. What does an investigation entail or look like?
Well, right now, it seems like there aren't a lot of good ways that this will unfold just because of the political implications and the diplomatic strains here. But it would be nice, for example, to, if you really wanted to rule out a lab leak hypothesis or investigate it more fully, to look more closely at the records at the Wuhan Institute of Virology or other labs in the area. There's still some, you know, uncertainty around some of the original cases. You know, China identified quite a number of cases of pneumonia-like illness in November and December. A lot of those were, you know, ruled out, although it's not exactly clear. The WHO investigation team didn't have access to all of the medical data and explanations for why all of those cases were ruled out. So there's just a lot of stones left unturned that would help fill out the picture.
I so appreciate this opportunity to talk with you. And I really appreciate the language of weaponized doubt versus genuine curiosity for the public good. Daniel Engber is the senior editor at The Atlantic. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.